So, let's start this, the actual course, giving you some ideas on a few of the so many applications of optimization and numerical analysis. This is something I really faced in my job, and it deals with scientific journals. Okay. One of the hot topics in this year is how do we evaluate research, how do we evaluate the quality of a journal. Is a journal better than another or not? There are a few institutes who provide measures of the quality of a journal. They provide the index, okay? Index which should give a measure of the value of a journal. I don't want to go inside the philosophical issue whether these measures are meaningful or not, okay? I just take them for granted, but there are many, okay? And generally we are called in some committees to evaluate how research is going in our department. And one measure is to check where our papers are published. Okay? And for instance, I've been in the committee for mathematics and computer science for some time, and we had to decide how to rank journals. Okay? And we end up with having a closer look at two indexes, which are those two defined up to there, the article influence score and the mathematical citation coefficients. EASY and AMS are the two institutes which compute these indices. Never mind how they do. It's a number. An index is a number, okay? This journal has this article influence score. The same journal has this mathematical citation quotient, and so on for the list of all journals. The question I was asking myself is the following. Is there any relationship with these two indexes? I mean, do they provide, let's say, the same kind of information? Okay? For this index, this journal is top quality. Is it top quality also for the other? Or may we have that this index is saying this is top quality and the other index is saying this is average quality or even low quality? Okay? So, I made a check. I had a certain number of journals, 509 journals, for which I had the pair of both indices. So, to each journal I had a couple of numbers, okay, a point in the plane. And I wanted to find if there is any relationship between this quantity and this other quantity for all the journals. These are the data, okay? Each point represents one journal. This is the value of the article influence score, and this is the value of the mathematical citation quotient. Okay? So this is the 509 journals in the plane, okay? There are many more other indices, but we focused on these two. One because comes from the most appreciated institute for evaluating research, and the other one coming from the American Mathematical Society, so which sounds reasonable speaking about mathematical journals. So, okay, one thing you can try, is there, for instance, some sort of linear relationship between the two indexes. Can I transform one index into the other through a linear transformation? For instance, is the MCQ related to AIS in that way? So that if I know AIS, I can guess the other index just multiplying the first index by Q and adding some additional term or not? Okay. You've seen the picture, so you might get the answer very easily. One way to do this is, okay, I'm looking for P and Q, okay, in such a way that roughly this relation should fall, so that if I just know AAS for one journal and I don't know the other index, I can estimate it. So one way is to exploit your data, your points, and you can say, okay, if that relationship is true for some given P and Q, this difference must be zero. Okay? So I'm looking for P and Q, possibly that this is zero for all i's. Okay? One way to try to find such P and Q is to take the square of this difference and sum all over my test points, my journals. Why do I take the square? Because it's, I don't want to have cancellation. I mean, suppose this is for one i, this is negative, and for another it's positive. Okay? They almost, when you sum, they almost cancel. Okay? If you take the square, this cannot happen because you are taking positive numbers. Okay? You could also take, if you prefer, the absolute value. Okay? But the absolute value, as we will see, will give some troubles. The square has a better property. So, okay, I can evaluate if P and Q are a good approximation for this relationship, which I'm supposing to all, but I'm not sure, by considering this quantity. And then, of course, I want to find the values of P and Q, which provide the minimum of this quantity. So I have an optimization problem. I want to minimize this quantity, this function, of these two variables, P and Q, where P and Q can take any value in R. Okay? This problem is called the linear least squares problem. Okay? Problema dei minimi quadrati. Squares, least, because you want to take the minimum value for this one. Okay? I've solved this optimization problem. Okay, here I have a zoom of data, of this part of data. Most data are inside here, okay? So that is the most interesting part. And this is the best, is the line given by the best P and Q, okay? P and Q, which provide the minimum of that function. They provide this relationship. So it would say that if one is the value of AIS, the value of the other index, M sigma, you should be this one, okay? So, do you think that a linear relationship between the two indexes exists or not? Are these points clustered along the line or not? Clearly the answer is no. I also tried with just one variable setting Q equal to zero, because one might imagine that Q has to be zero, because if the quality of a journal is zero according to one index, zero means nothing, should be zero also for the other index. So I tried both situations, and if you take Q equals zero, the line is this one. Okay. Clearly, you see that you easily answered no, there is no linear relationship. This is the best thing I can do, supposing that the two indexes are linearly related. When I was on the committee, it was difficult to convince my colleagues of this, okay? Because they were thinking an index is an absolute measure, so we can take whether we can take one or the other. It's just the same thing. Okay. The answer is no. The behavior is very different. And what's the reason? One measure is better than the other. The actual answer is the databases of the two societies is completely different. Okay. And are built with different goals, and with different sets of journals, and they are built also, and the construction of an index is made with very different methodologies, and so the answer is no. The choice of an index to measure quality of journal is relevant, okay? So this is an example of linear least squares. The term linear squares come from the fact that here you take the square. Linear means the fact that here the relationship you are trying to test is linear. Okay? If you consider this as a function of P and Q, is linear in P and Q. Okay? But there are situations in which these problems may be met, and this sort of ideas can be applied, but the relationship is not linear. Okay? I'll give you very, very briefly another example. Okay, imagine that that function of a unique variable t, okay, t generally is time, okay. This function has this behavior, okay, starts from an initial value, okay. Here it depends on two parameters, theta and lambda, okay. Here I've drawn you the picture for six different pairs of values. Okay, theta equals 7 and lambda equals 2, 1 and 0, 5, and theta equals 5 and the same values for lambda. Okay, they share the same behavior. They start at for t equals 0, they start a certain value, and then they go rapid, they go very fast to 0 with an exponential rate. Okay? And these sort of functions are met in many fields, from physics, chemistry, pharmacology, economics. Also, it is also used in some procedure in computer science. I don't want to bother you with the details. Just think of, let's say, in physics, of the decay of Radioactivity, yes, exactly. I was thinking about that, okay? In a substance. And imagine you measured it, okay? You don't know the values of the parameters, okay? The physical model is saying you that the decay of radioactivity is exponential, actually, okay? It takes a very long time, but you imagine also chemical processes in where some links vanish or get weak fast in time. But you don't know the parameters. You know that that is the form of the behavior of the process, but you don't know the values. You can measure it at different times, and you can take the value. Okay. Well, one thing you could think about trying to find the curves of that inside this family of curves, which gives the best fit for your points. Okay. How do you do it? Well, you don't know theta and lambda. You have the values you measure. So this is reality, apart from measurement errors. And, well, you can do the same thing we have done before. You have the points ti, yi, in which you measured it. Well, you can try to test the types of functions, and you would like to the basis of the square to be zero, okay, for each I, for given values of theta and lambda. This is unlikely to happen, so you sum all over your test points, you take this quantity and you try to find the theta and lambda which gives the minimum value for these errors, the errors between the truth and your mathematical model of the physical process. Okay? Unlikely before, so there are two things which are different from the previous case. The first thing is that here, what you have in the basis of the square is non-linear in theta and lambda, the two variables, the two unknowns, okay? You don't know. The two unknowns are linked non-linearly there. So it's a non-linear function. The basis is a non-linear function. And then you also have the fact that to have this form, theta and lambda have to be positive, Okay. If lambda is negative, you don't have the decay. Okay. It goes up because it becomes an exponential and not a negative exponential. So you have also another point, that is that theta and lambda have to be positive. So this means that these optimization problems in these lambda and theta variables is constrained. The variables are not free to take any value, okay? But there are some values which are feasible and other values which are not feasible, okay? And so you want to find the minimum but of the function, not all over the whole space, but just on the part of the ordinate, okay? On the positive ordinate, just on one pole for the whole space. Just here, and you don't bother what the function does here, okay? And this is the best curve I could find. So, Professor Bevilacqua will now go on...
Next example, I need some explanation on the blackboard, so I... roll up screen.
And no. Okay, this makes black just so the best thing I can.
Let us consider an important and popular problem, the compression of an image. We can think that this image is represented by an array of, say, n by n values, which will be grading level. In the simplest case. So we associate to the image a matrix of numbers, in general a rectangle matrix, m by n. So the simplest approach to this problem is to ask in which way a general matrix can be compressed, or better, represented with a few numbers. So this is a we can start from the simple consideration that generally the object has a storage requirement of n by n location. So this is the answer. Can a matrix A be approximately represented with less than m by n values. So there is a case, maybe you remember this case from numerical analysis, of matrices which naturally are represented with less than m by n numbers. These matrices are the so-called DX, which are defined as matrices obtained from the product of a column vector, say U, and a row vector, say V to the G. These matrices of this size
But
the total amount of values that we need to represent this kind of matrix is only n plus n. In general, a matrix A, which is not ideal, we will see in the second semester, that can be written as the sum of ideas. So the idea is this: any matrix is the sum of ideas. How many ideas?
This is the point.
The answer is given by the so-called SVD decomposition, which is a particular, very important kind of factorization of a matrix as the product of three matrices. I describe this decomposition with sketch. This is the matrix A, rectangular. It can be seen as the product of the square m by n matrix U, a rectangular diagonal matrix, say sigma, and finally a third matrix B, generally called mid-age, we will see better what this means. These matrices have particular properties which we will study better in the following of the course. The important fact for our goal is that this decomposition can be rewritten as a sum of R, say that R are the numbers, the numbers of values which are lying over along this diagonal. The sum of R dx. This is matrices which can be represented, which are effectively represented with a few numbers. The possible, very simple answer to the problem of compressing a matrix, which was representative of the image, is to consider only a few, a subset of these R dx. The most important of them, that is, those corresponding to the first values lying on this diagonal. This technique is called truncated SVD decomposition. So we can approximate the matrix A, that is the image, our original image, with some of these values. Obtaining these values are called singular values. Obtaining let we see the effect of the approximated A obtained, consider some of the singular values in the leading positions along the diagonal. The original matrix, this slide show all the various approximations. The first is the original image, the FDD, the composition of the matrix of gray levels of that image is the matrix about 1500 by 1500. We can read
yes, 48.
450 by 500. So we have about 450 singular vectors. If we consider the largest 200 singular values, we obtain the second image, approximated image, and so on, 110 singular values. And you see that if we consider only the first 10 singular values, the structural features of the image are still can still be recognized. This is what we obtain. We will obtain considering only one first. I have not said that the singular values along the diagonal are ordered. So the first singular value is the largest. In the next slide, we see all the five or six images with the same approximation. Okay. Well, this technique is very simple, and we want to stress which aspect? The fact that theoretical important results such as the FDD decomposition can lead to simple solutions to important problems like this. Naturally, the usual compression techniques for images or also for sounds and other kinds of data are much more sophisticated. You know that images are usually compressed by using the JPEG technique, which is a local transform, sign transform applied to the matrix representing the image. So there will be various situations. One of the simple that we can consider in which the connection between important and common problems and the tools of numerical linear algebra are closely connected. Okay.
Yeah, let's take a 5 minutes break and then we will show you another couple of applications.